How's your name, Tim? Looks like somebody in the audience here. Wow. Thank you for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. It's always an honor, and yeah, it's good to be here in Indiana. And I see some people that I know and some people that came to support me, so I'm grateful for that. Thanks. I see some people, too, that I've known a long, long time. You're dinosaurs, too, folks, you know? Can believe it or not, I've never been to a dinosaur thing, you know? And I think I've resisted it for some reason. I think maybe there was some level of denial, maybe. I don't know. You know, because they're everywhere, you know? And it is, honestly, this is the first time I've been to one. And so I guess I qualify, you know? We were talking earlier, Mike and I, and you know, I was with a group of people, one of the guys I've known for a long time, and something about my age came up, you know? I just celebrated a birthday earlier this week, and they were kind of ribbing me about getting old, being the old man or whatever, and I said, you know what? It's a privilege to be able to grow old today. And it really is. I didn't think I'd make it to 30 when I was out there, you know? I almost didn't many times. But I'm here, and I'm still here, and I'm going to stay here, you know? Don't keep coming back. Stay. If you're here, stay. Grow where you're planted, you know? Because let me tell you, it is not the same world it was when I was out there. You know? I mean, maybe, you know, long ago we could keep coming back. And some of us have that experience. People don't make it back today, folks. And you know that's a reality. You know? So this is life and death. I'm choosing life today. I treasure my life, you know? And Roberta, man, you know, I love you, but you freaked me out on the paragoric stuff. That must have been the training. You know, my mom kept it on the shelf. And I, too, would kind of like act out. I guess I was a rambunctious kind of kid, you know? And I think she would give it to me to, like, calm me down. You know, she would take that bottle, it was a brown bottle, I remember, and put it in the spoon. She didn't put no sugar in it. Your mom was nice, mine, and she would give it to me. And this is the thing that freaks me out, is it was the same feeling that, like, I would have when I went to go. I have that anticipation, you know, that, like, oh, you know, that thrill before you get it in. Crazy. And it was over the counter. You know, over the counter. I guess it's the good old days. I don't know. And you know, most people don't even know what paregoric is, but look it up. And that's the only drug I think I'm going to talk about. I don't talk about drugs. I don't care what you use, who you use with, who your connections are. We just talked about that, right? You know? I still have an issue with what goes on up here. You know, this is how it goes. I was with a friend of mine he's a very good friend of mine, and we work together all the time, and he's our local narcotics detective. And we were talking about a certain thing at work. And it led into this conversation, because of me, and can kind of be an influence sometimes, not always the best, about how we could sell dope today. And do it so well, because we know more than we did back. I know more than I did back then, you know. And then he said, "What would happen though if we got arrested?" I'm not getting arrested. I told him, you know, I'm with the detective here, you know. But it's, you know, we were just trying to have a light moment in a serious, kind of depressing conversation. But you know, I stood in my head about that for a while. you know, how I could probably make some bucks, you know, selling, you know. And not directly, but I'd have people doing it for, you know. I mean, I'm not that stupid today, you know. But I'm telling you to be accountable, I guess. I don't know. But still, you know, I'm not drug proof today, you know. I'm not drug proof. Okay. Yeah, I'm not drug proof, and I take my recovery seriously. I don't blame the paregoric. I don't blame my mom. You know, she did the best she can, and you know, with what she had, and that was a whole different scene. But I started using at a very early age. I don't remember ever not liking it. You know, I hear, you know, some people say, like, oh, the first time they smoked pot or something, it was like they didn't like it, or they pretended like they smoked. And that's not my experience. I liked it, and bam, I wanted more, you know? And it just progressed. But anyway, you know, I come from a good family. I thought I was the only person with this disease that's treatable and preventable. I found out later that there's a long line of great uncles and people that have. I heard stories of, like, you know, they would put a bottle of alcohol in the toilet tank to hide it, you know, in the old days, you know, and drink it and stuff. And just crazy stories that I heard after, you know, it became apparent that I had an issue. You know, when I had this issue, I had a business. I was a pretty successful guy with this business. Me and my business partner, we did pretty well. Until, like, we started using, you know? And then we continued using. And then we started doing some illegal activity with real illegal people. And, like, money laundering and stuff like that, you know? It was crazy, the stuff that we did. And until, like, I got cornered and I was backed into the corner. I had no place to go. I didn't think anybody knew. I was in a conference room with my attorney, and his name was Ron. And I'm blasted at this end, and he's at the other end. And he said to me, "Timmy, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something?" You know, and my dad would say that same thing to me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that there was any solution. I didn't know anything about recovery. I didn't know nothing about narcotics anonymous. Nothing. You know, and all I knew was to get more, to continue going, so I could, like, function. You know, that's how, you know, I took the drug, and the drug took me, and I didn't know if I'm ever coming back. You know, the drugs were in control. The illegal activity that we were involved with was kind of, like, scared me a little bit, to be honest. There was a grand jury looking at the stuff that we did. I didn't like the things that were happening. My business partner, there he is, went to this place on the north side. I took him there and I picked him up. And after 30 days or whatever, when I picked him up, he looked better. He sounded better, all this stuff. And I asked him, like, what happened? You know, like, you're like, okay. And he said, yeah, we'll get the business better, and we're going to clean up all our, you know, problems. And he's getting back with his wife, and blah, 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 blah. And we're at Doc's on Chainside that night drinking, you know? And I'm thinking, this is exactly what I need. I'm going to this place because that's what they can teach me how to use successfully. You know, they did it for him, you know? And we continued to, you know, do what we did that night. And, I don't know, within a short time, I was at this place. And they called me a patient, and I was up at Brightwoods on the north side. Remember Brightwoods? It was a lovely institution. It was like an institution, you know? It wasn't like these cushy places we have today, you know? our rec was putting coats on and walking around the building. That was our recreation. We had a ping pong table with no paddles, you know. It was ghetto, but they told me something there about complete abstinence. Like, that was like not in my, you know, it was like, what? Nothing, you know? And that was like right after I was like trying to con the nurses for more meds from detox, you know? Not that ever happened to anybody here, but I tried to get a little bit more, you know? I don't remember a whole lot about that place, to be honest. That was my clean base, November 28th of 1988, and that was in the old days. Yeah, yeah. And things were a little different then. But thank God that some things were the same. Like the guy from Narcotics Anonymous came in, and they did this meeting. They had a table, and there was a bunch of them, and they would talk a little bit and share their experience, strength, and hope, you know? And I did not believe any of them. I didn't believe them. You know? How can you get in front of a room full of people with nothing to take the edge off? You know? And so I would go up to them and see if their eyes were pinned, because I'm sure that they were doing a little something, you know? And they would talk to me, and they would spend time with me. And I would even try to trip them up in a lie or something, you know, maybe that they said they're bullshit. They always were on target. And then I started looking forward to them coming in, you know? It was like I think that there was something like happening, you know, that like light went off in me, and they were planning the fate of desire for me, you know? I didn't know it then, but I'm so grateful for that now. And I really am. And the other thing that happened there that I don't want to forget is they had like a mayor of the community. Do they still do that? No? They would like elect this mayor of the community, and this guy would be like the chief. I don't know what he's supposed to do, but he was like the big Chief Chahan or whatever. Jimmy was my buddy. He was the mayor. You know, I want to go to the top too, of course, you know? And I didn't like too many people there. I didn't like myself, you know? And Jimmy took me under his wing. He showed me, like, the important stuff, you know? Like, how to act in groups. And don't say that, say this, you know? And don't go to that aid, go to this, you know? And how to get the real coffee, not the decaf. And all this important stuff that I really needed to know, you know? And it was essential. That stuff's important when, you know, I was in rehab for me. So, one day we're downstairs using the payphone that we were supposed to use. Yeah, we had payphones. You put a dime in, I think, then, or a quarter, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. And you use this phone on the wall, you know, for all you young bucks, yeah. So the phone was all being used by us, you know? And he said goodbye to us and get it out the door. He said, I'm done, I had enough, I'm leaving. 2 days later, in group, the counselor came in and said they found him dead. The needle in his arm, and it made me so damn sad. It's the first time I felt sad, felt anything probably in a long time, and it reminded me, or made me understand that this is truly about life and death. You know, and I don't ever want to forget Jimmy. I don't want to forget that feeling. You know, my feelings became alive. You know, I was that zombie of a person, bebopping through life, thinking I was immortal or something. No fear, nothing, you know. I mean, I'm a real big guy, as you can see, you know. And I'd walk into the bar, you know, like, I don't know. And people would say, yeah, that's, you know. Look at me, my God, you know. But like, I had this thing happening, you know, and it was, I guess, a thing that like helped to keep people at bay sometimes, you know? It's crazy, you know? My addiction too, going back, I gotta share this, and I'm all over the place with timelines. I can't remember dates and times, but anyway, it's what happens when you get to be a dinosaur, let's face it. Watch it. No, but I was a, like, I went for the feeling of stuff, you know? And I had a record player. You know, some of you probably heard this story before, but you guys know what a record player is, right? It's a thing that plays records of you. Yeah, you know. And so I would plug it in and play my records. And I'm probably like in, first, second grade or something, I guess. And one day, I held my finger, and I got those out. I like it. It was like, yeah. And so I kept going back, you know. And one day, my buddy off the street, Ricky, came down, and I showed him, do this. And he did it. And he's like, wow. I thought, what's wrong with you, dude? You know? Meanwhile, he's thinking, what's wrong with me? Now, that's not normal behavior, folks. You know? I don't think that's normal behavior. But it just shows how I react to things. And I like that feeling, you know? And I chase that feeling in a whole lot of different ways. You know, and I can still go chasing that feeling today. You know? But, you know, I have other things in my toolbox, I guess you say, that I can use to not go there, which is so important, you know. I got out of that institution. I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It was an experience I'll never forget. It was wake up down in Wilkinsburg, St. Stephen's Church, and it was Saturday morning. I went down there, and it was Christmas time. It was right before the holidays, and they were having a Christmas party, and somebody dressed up like Santa Claus, and all this food, and hey, it was just a fun time. And I saw some punks that I used with there, and like they were putting some time together that gave me some hope too. If these people could do it, maybe I could too, you know. I got some numbers. My first sponsor was an attorney, because I needed some free legal advice. My attorney was too expensive. I had no more money, and you know, I remember meeting him at Don in the city, and we were having coffee, and he's trying to talk to me about steps and stuff, and I'm trying to talk to him about my case. Like, we didn't have this. We didn't have that line of communication going. Like, come on, dude. You know, I have priorities here, you know? Of course, that didn't last or work too well, you know, and last too long, but I tried. About our cases, too, I need to say that my buddy Darius did not stay clean. He continued on with the business for a while, and he ended up doing state time. I had the opportunity to go visit him at the penitentiary, which was kind of like uncomfortable in so many ways. You know, the only difference between Darius and I is that I stayed clean and he didn't. You know, he died about 3 years ago in December from this disease. I've lost so many people, just like you all, you know, and I don't believe that anybody has to die from this disease. Stay, you know, stay. So anyway, when I was in college, I went to college, and I'm a very educated person, you know, big deal, you know. It happens to anybody, you know, and don't go too far. So when I was in college, I was home, and I was, I think it was for the one of the summers, and I was working at this place, and I was in an accident. Driving home from a party that we had, you know, and I was a mess. I don't remember too much, but friends have told me that they were trying not to get me to leave. And I was trying to prove to them that I'm okay to drive. I was walking backwards to my car to show them how okay I was. You know, and I got in the car and I wrecked on Route 30. And some guys, Good Samaritan people came. And all I knew was they had a pickup truck and they came. And they called an ambulance and they stayed with me until the ambulance came. And I got to the hospital and they cut my clothes off and everything. And I thought, I knew I had a broken leg, I thought broken nose, which is not too hard to break because it's everywhere. But a priest that was just married my sister a month before came in, and I could see something was happening, and he gave me a lot of frights. They didn't expect me to live, you know, through the night.
had a lot of problems from that accident. I had to have, I broke every bone in my face. My face was reconstructed. I had broken legs. I had to have metal rods and pins in my legs. And I don't know how to walk again eventually, you know? I had the endless supply of any substances I wanted, which really, really escalated my use. I can remember something that I was prescribed, and I was asking for more, and I needed a refill, and I remember my physician saying, man, you took all that already, that could kill the horse. You know, my tolerance was up, I needed more, and I didn't know or didn't. And that's something that I want to forget but don't, you know? It was a difficult time, and I put my family and friends through a whole lot of bad stuff through that, and I wasn't supposed to drink or anything like that, but I did whatever I needed to do. I was quite a mess. Quite a mess. So I get clean, I get back, and got some more education, I did some stuff, and I didn't have a job for the first time in my life, so I, you know, everybody when they get clean, not everybody, but a lot of people when they get clean, they want to be a counselor, you know? Yeah, I want to go help people and be a counselor, right, you know? And that's what I did, you know, I went and became a counselor and worked with people who had substance use disorder, and I learned a lot. And I continued to learn a lot. I worked in every faucet of treatment that you can imagine. Roberta, you were probably one of my patients at Discovery Hospital sometime. I don't know. I see some people here who I've learned, who I've met through. Yeah. And I'm glad you're still here. You stayed. My God. You know? And it wasn't through me, you know, it was through you taking the action. And I'm just happy to see some people here like that. So it's been an interesting ride. It really has. I've had the opportunity to not just learn from serving others in that capacity, but also learn about myself. You know? I've kind of moved along over the years. And today where I'm at, it's kind of a strange dichotomy, you know? The people who were my enemies, like the law folks, the judges, the DA, I work with them all today. They're my allies. I tell them what to do with people like us. Imagine that, you know? It's crazy. You know, I sit in on court cases, and I'm part of the drug court treatment team, but like I help them understand, you know, revocation day. I love revocation day, you know? And then I can tell the judges, you know, it's real embarrassing sometimes when they ask from the bench, hey, Tim, do you think I did okay? What am I going to say? No, judge, you're really, you know? But it's an opportunity to give some education to people who need to understand what goes on up here. You know, how this happens with people like me, you know? And I just want to think that I can help us a little bit. It's an honor to be of service. You know, I've got this gift of recovery, you know? And people put up with me for so long, and people still put up with me. I've never been asked to leave, I don't think, in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, some people have wished I probably would have gone. You know? I believe in keeping NA. I don't want to be the NA police, but I believe in one fellowship, one home group, one sponsor, singleness of purpose. I don't need to go to any other fellowship. Narcotics Anonymous gives me everything that I need. And it's not about the drug, it's about the thinking and the living. You know, when I moved to Greensburg, I had, I don't know, a little bit of clean time. And there was only two NA meetings in the city of Greensburg. Two. All week. And so I said, what do you do? Oh, we go to another fellowship. And I tried to go there and it just didn't work. They told me not to say that. Sit down, shut up, and stuff like that. And I wasn't very welcome. And the more they told me not to, the more I did, of course, you know. So we would travel to go to NA meetings. We'd get a bunch of guys in a car and go to West Virginia or Ohio, or I can remember, you know, we would go to the Root Group all the time. And you mentioned some of those people down there that were really helpful with my dilemma about staying here in one fellowship, you know? NA's grown since then, thank God, you know, thank God. Yeah, it's essential for me to be able to, you know, give back whenever I can. I can give back not just in here, but I can give back in my family, in my community, all that, you know? It's about giving back, you know? Whatever I, you know, I'm a big guy about service. You know, we used to take the detox, you mentioned detox, and I was thinking about the time I got, somebody threw up on me at Montsor Hospital. You know? I mean, there'd be people not. It was great, though. I mean, I kept coming back. You know, I love my commitment. We were there off and on for probably 8-9 years, you know? And, it was entertaining, to say the least, you know? But it's always great, too, when I'm at an NA convention or something, and somebody comes up to me and says, I remember you. I don't remember them, but they remember us coming in and giving, you know, that H&I kind of spiel to them. It's pretty cool when they come up and you see them like kind of freshly, you know, like, you know, all happy about being clean. So yeah, right now, you know, life is kind of crazy. I had a good day too today. You know, I was just at one of my closest friends who's in recovery. I sponsored him for a while and we're like family, you know. We're like, I'm closer to him than I am my other siblings, really. His mother is turning 90, so they had this party for her today. And I knew I had this commitment prior, but I couldn't not go to her party. And 90, she's a real dinosaur, you know? And so I went, and there, you know, they had some, it was great, you know? But I'm just able to be present at those things today, you know? And to me, that's a big deal, you know? I'm not only there for my friends, but I'm there for my family. I can remember stuff, you know? I did stuff when I was using that I have no like recollection of. You know, today it's important for me to be able to build memories, whether it's vacations or family stuff or whatever, you know? Let me tell you the other thing, that before I forget, because this is the ultimate. When I went to NA, they didn't promise me anything. But one thing, freedom. Freedom. Because I have that freedom, I can do whatever I want to do. I can travel, I've gone back to school, I've gotten education, I've taken employment opportunities, I've gotten in some crazy relationships, and I've done a whole lot of stuff because I have that freedom. The drug's not in me, calling the shots, I can do it. And I can still use, you know? I can still use. I cringe sometimes when I'm in a meeting and people say, oh, I can never use again. Watch it, because you can. You know, I choose not to. And to me, there's a lot of power in having that choice. You know? For me, that's what works. I like to have that choice not to take nothing today. Not to take that first one, you know? That allows me to do anything and live life today beyond my wildest dreams. You know, as I get more, as I get older, you know, my family's getting older too. You know, I'm dealing with some stuff that I never thought I'd have to deal with. I have an aunt who's very sick. She was at the hospital yesterday with her. It's not just seeing them on the way out. It's all the other stuff that goes with it. It's all new to me. There's no handbook, you know? I talked to some of my people in here, you know, who have gone through that experience about, you know, estates and attorneys and all that stuff. It's so complicated, you know? And it's new. It's new character for me, you know? I try to remain as grateful as I can. My mom is in good. She's run circles around me. You know, she's 84, and she's crazy, but she's good. And you know, I always try to spend time with her too, because I want to. I have that freedom to do that today. You know, she's important to me. My father passed away a year before I got clean. He died very young, and I never had the opportunity to really even have a healthy relationship with him. So I do what I can with the people who are in my life today. You know? My mom, she's funny. I take her, we always go out to eat. You know, we'll go to the flower show. She likes, she grows orchids and stuff. So we'll take her to the flower show. And then we go out to eat or something. And whoever we're doing, if I take her shopping, we go out to eat. I always take her someplace like different, you know? And she tells her friends now, oh, he takes me to these places. We went to some Mediterranean place, or we went to some Oriental place, or we went to that place where they chop stuff up in front of you, you know, and cook it. And it's kind of fun, you know? It's kind of fun. She obviously enjoys it, but I know she's proud of me today, and that's what counts, you know? Narcotics Anonymous has given me the opportunity to be a son today, you know? And be a brother, and be a citizen, and all that. And you know, it's not only becoming a productive member, a responsible, productive member of society, it's important, you know? It's very important. Do what you can do to advocate for us. Vote for the right people that are going to help us. You know, I'm on my soapbox, but I don't care. You know, because it's important. If you're responsible, you should have that responsibility to take it seriously. I do. You know, I really do. Because it does affect us. You know, there's too many people dying. There's too much crap going on that people can't get help when they need it. Pennsylvania is way behind the ball on some things. We need to get with it, you know? You know, it can't just be me and a handful of other people, which it seems like it has been. We need all you guys behind us to advocate for our own people. No one has to die from a preventable, treatable disease, which is this thing here. I think I'm about running out of steam. I don't know. You know, there's always the what three leads you give, the one you gave, the one you wanted to, and the one you didn't, right? So this is the one you got. So I hope you're okay with it, you know. If not, you know, there's a couple other speakers in a little bit. So hang around, listen to them. Or I know there's a meeting tonight where I'll be in town too, or wherever. There's lots of meetings. Stay involved, stay connected. You know, my connection to you people in Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life that I never thought I'd have. You know, my connection with people, the guys who I love, the people in my life that I sponsor, has been the saving grace of me staying here for however many years I'm here, since 1988. But, you know, it's an honor to grow old here. Thanks for asking me to be a dinosaur speaker, I guess. Thanks.